بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فنواصل الحديث في مسائل مواقيت الصلاة. We continue discussing the issues with regards to the times of the prayer. With regards to the times of the prayer, نتفقه في ديننا, trying to gain an understanding in our religion, trying to gain some correct understanding in the deen in order to rectify our creed and belief first and foremost, and in order to rectify our actions, hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept from us our deeds. A Muslim, he's always striving to seek an understanding in the religion and increasing in knowledge every day. From that, we see seeking an understanding of al-ahkam al-shar'iyyah, al-amaliyyah, trying to have an understanding and striving to have the correct knowledge with regards to the legislated regulations and rulings from the actions of al-Islam. And we continue reading in the book Umdat al-Ahkam by Imam al-Hafidh Abdul Ghani al-Maqdisi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 600. And he mentioned Kitab al-Salati Bab al-Muwaqit, the book of al-Salat, in the chapter of the times of the prayer, meaning the obligatory prayer. وَذَكَرَ أَحَدِيثٍ, and he mentioned narrations rahimahullahu ta'ala. Minha, from them we continue reading. عن عبد الله ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أنه قال اعتمى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالعشاء فخرج عمر رضي الله عنه فقال الصلاة يا رسول الله رقد النساء والصبيان فخرج ورأسه يقطر يقول لولا أن شق على أمتي أو على الناس لأمرتهم بهذه الصلاة هذه الساعة. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, that he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Prophet, a'tama an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bil-Isha. A'tama an-Nabi, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delayed the Isha prayer until close to a third of the night, whenever it had become very dark. And then Umar, he came out, and he from the masjid, or out from the place where he was sitting in the saf, in the line, in the rank, waiting for the prayer, waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came out and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, radiyallahu anhu, as-salat ya Rasulullah, the prayer established the salat, O Messenger of Allah, raqad an-nisa'u was-sibyan, verily the women and the children have fallen asleep. Verily the women and the children have fallen asleep. فَخَرَجَ وَرَأْسُهُ يَقْتُرُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out of his home and his hair is dripping, his head is dripping, meaning his hair is dripping, either from ghusl or from the wudu, or from cooling himself off sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, he came out in this manner and his hair is dripping. It says here, وَرَأْسُهُ يَقْتُرُ, and his head is dripping, meaning his hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يَقُولُ, while he's saying, لَوْلَا أَنَّ شُقَّ عَلَى أُمَّتِي, if it were not for the fact that I would make it hard on my ummah, أو على الناس, or if it were not to be hard on the people, لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِهَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ هَذِهِ السَّاعَةَ, then I would command them to perform this prayer at this time. And if it was not for the difficulty upon the ummah, or hardship upon the people, then I would have commanded them to pray this prayer, meaning at Isha, at this time, meaning after nearly a third of the night had passed. A third of the night had passed. So we see the subject of this narration, and why it is mentioned in this chapter, is to clarify an issue that has preceded, and that is that it's preferred to delay the Isha prayer until the later portion of the night. Yani the later portion, the ulama, they mentioned, meaning close to a third of the night. Close to a third of the night. This is preferred with the condition that there's no hardship upon the congregation. With the condition that there's no hardship upon the congregation. And this is the position of the majority of the scholars, the majority of the ulama. So it has preceded that the time for Isha in general is 2 times. It is preceded, that we've seen, that the time of Isha is 2 times. And in general, the time of Isha is from whenever the redness in the horizon, in the western horizon, goes away entirely, الشفق الأحمر, and all the way until the rising of the Fajr. إلى طلوع الفجر. This is the time, the general time for Arisha, and this has preceded Alhamdulillah. And it's divided that time from the time of the entrance of Isha, whenever the redness in the horizon goes away, all the way until the rising of the Fajr. This time is divided into two. Waqt ikhtiyari, the time whenever a person is allowed to pray at his choice or decision, and he will not be sinful. And this is until a third of the night. Some ulama, they mention until half of the night, but we've seen the best opinion, and Allah knows best, according to the narration, whenever Jibreel, he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إلى ثلث الليل الأوسط, until the third of the night, So from the time that the horizon, the redness in the horizon goes away, this is whenever Isha begins. And the third of the night, the time ends for the one to pray while he has a choice, and he will not be sinful. Yeah, he will not be sinful. After the third has passed, all the way into Fajr, this is called Waqtun al-Waqt al-Tirari, the time of necessity. And it's not allowed for a person who is well, or healthy, or someone who is not traveling, or not preoccupied with some very important affair. And the likes like this, to delay it to that time. Even it's not preferred for a traveler to delay at that time, unless he has a reason, because of danger, or fear, or the likes like this. But this is time is known as al-waqt al-ittirari, and it's for the people who have excuses to pray at that time until the rising of the Fajr. So we see that that's the time of the Fajr, but the preferred time of the Fajr, that's what this narration, it clarifies, the preferred time and the most virtuous time to the Isha, the preferred time of the Isha, the most virtuous time of the Isha is close to a third of the night, and before a third of the night passes, and before the al-waqt al-ikhtiyari ends. And this is the time that is also known as al-atamatu. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done here. Ibn Abbas, and what did he say? A'tama an-nabi. A'tama, yani adkhala fi al-atama. Al-atamatu, yani dhulmatu al-layl, aw shiddatu ظُلْمَةِ اللَّيْلِ, whenever the night becomes very dark. At this time is called al-atama in the Arabic language. And the one who enters into that time, you say about him, a'atama. A'atama yu'atimu ala wazn af'ala. Similarly like this, the same wazn, asbaha, yani dakhala as-sabah. Wa amsa dakhala al-masa. Subhanallah, fa subhanallahi hina tumsuna wa hina tusbihun. Yani hina tadkhuruna المساء وحين تدخلون الصباح. And also you say, if a person entered the ocean, أبحر الرجل, يعني دخل البحر, أو أعرق إذا دخل العراق, أو أمصر إذا دخل مصر. And like this, this wazn has this meaning. So here, أعتمى, أي دخل الأعتمى. So that means that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أعتمى بالعشاء, يعني أدخل العشاء, أو صلى, أو قام صلاة العشاء في وقت العتمى. في وقت العتمة, and the عتمة is ظلمة الليل, the darkest part of the night. The ulama, they mention that this is close to a third of the night, before that, but close to that. So the narration, we see many benefits, and at this time, we also can learn from the narration that this is not the normal manner of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or his custom to establish the prayer late like this. We see that the people, they fell asleep, the women and the children, they have fallen asleep waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who are weak and not able to stay up, they have fallen asleep because he had delayed it until later in the night, which is not normal for them, and it's something that he does normally. So they were this is something that they were unaware of. And also we see that Umar radiallahu anhu, he went to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that and to mention that to them. So he says, as-salata Ya Rasulullah, as-salata ay salli, salli as-salata ya Rasulullah. And we could say it like this, as-salata bin-nasb, with a fitha on the word salat. As-salata ala al-igra', yani salli as-salata ya Rasulullah. Another reading of this hadith, you can say as-salatu, يعني بمعنى حضرت الصلاة يا رسول الله. In any case, Umar radiallahu anhu is coming and he's informing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to establish the prayer. And he's making an excuse and mentioning the reason why he's coming to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, رَقَدَ النِّسَاءُ وَالسِّبْيَانُ. Verily the women and the children have fallen asleep. The women, this is clear, the women, النِّسَاء. The women, meaning those who are adults from the women. وَالسِّبْيَانُ, they're the children who are underage. They are the children who are underage and they have not reached the age of puberty yet. السِّبْيَانُ. The children who have not reached the age of puberty yet. Naam. And so Umar, he went to remind or get the attention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whenever he did that, he mentioned the reason why he came. Naam. And then likewise, he said, radiallahu anhu, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came out and his hair is dripping from water. And he mentioned, if it was not for the hardship or a hardship that I would place upon the Ummah, I would command them to establish the prayer at this time. To establish this prayer, meaning the Isha, at this time. So likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also came out. And also, whenever he came out, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he also made an excuse or mentioned the reason why he delayed it. So this is a benefit that the one who is going to ask somebody for something or remind somebody about something, he presents the reason in the beginning and the excuse for that to clarify the reason why he's coming. And this good manner, somebody who's going to inform the leader or somebody who has a high status or rank, whether it's in knowledge or in society and the likes like that, he will come and he'll present the excuse first. And he would not come in a manner as a commander or someone who was ordering, somebody who has a level above them. Rather, he will come with respect and honor. And this is from the noble manners. So he comes to remind him, but he doesn't come as in the form of a commander or the one who is ordering. But rather he comes in the form of one who is requesting and he clarifies his situation. And likewise, the one who is considered the elder or the one who was considered higher in rank in the society or the community and the likes like this, also if he does something that is contrary to that which is normal or to the custom of the people or that which they're familiar with, then he likewise would mention the reason why and he'll clarify that to them in order for them to benefit and for the situation to be clear. So we see that from this narration, there are benefits. And from them is the clarification of the preferred time. The preferred time of Arisha, and that it should be delayed until close to a third of the night or before that. And this preference or this afdaliya is only in the case whenever there will not be a hardship upon the community, and not be a hardship upon the congregation. And if there is a hardship upon the congregation, then it's not preferred to delay it. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the majority of the time he did not delay it. Although he's mentioning that that's the most virtuous time. But he would look and observe the situation of the people. And he would observe that which is easy for the congregation. And he would not make the affair hard upon them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah, he mentioned that about his deen. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. We have not made any hardship upon you in the deen. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would love to do deeds and actions that are pleasing to Allah, but he would leave them at certain times for fear that it will be a hardship upon the ummah. For fear that it will be a hardship upon the ummah. So if someone was traveling and they had their choice to pray as they like and it wouldn't be hardship on the congregation with them, then they delay it. Or if there were some students or some brothers on an excursion, for example, and they had the command or the affair in their hand, they could delay it if they're going to pray together like this. Or a sister in her home, if she is praying in the house, then if it's beneficial for her or not hard for her, then it's better for her to delay the Isha and to pray it in a later time. But if it is prayed in an earlier time, there's no blame on that individual. In any case, it's just more virtuous to delay it, and that's if there's no hardship. But if there's a hardship in any of these cases, it's preferred not to delay it, rather to pray it in the time that is not difficult and does not create a hardship for the individual. So we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delayed the prayer and he delayed the congregation and he kept them waiting, and this is in order to clarify this ruling. And this is in order to clarify this al-hukm al-shar'i, this legislative ruling of the virtue and the preference of delaying the prayer. of Isha until a later time. And likewise, we see as well the diligence of the companions, radiallahu anhum. Again, another picture of this, how the companions are diligent to learn and also to narrate and to convey to the ummah every single action that he did, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here Umar, he's remembering that night, Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, he's remembering that night that Umar went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he delayed the prayer, and how this occurred, and these events that happened, and the benefits from them, how they are diligent to remember these affairs, and to benefit from them, and to convey them to the ummah. And to convey them to the ummah. Also, from this narration, it has come as some of the wordings the people, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he akhara As-salat, salat al-isha, ila al-atama. Fa-nama ahlu al-masjid. The people in the masjid, they fell asleep. But here is mentioning also that women and children fell asleep. So from the benefit of that is that it's permissible for the women to pray in the masjid and also to bring the children. It's allowed. But we know the ruling with regards to the women praying in the masjid that it's preferred for them to pray in their home. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he prohibited the believers from forbidding their women from going to the masajid. لا تمنعوا نساءكم المساجد وبيوتهن خير لهن. Do not prohibit your women from going to the masajid, but their homes are better for them. And it's better and more virtuous for them to pray in their home, although it's allowed for them to pray in the masjid. Just as it's allowed to bring children to the masjid, but this is not the asl. This is something that is allowed, and it should only be done for a necessity, especially if the child is under the age of 7, he's under the age of tamyiz, and he's not of the age where he can stand in the rank and pray, and to bring the children to the masjid. And this is not something that should be done all the time. And this is not something that is mentioned that in every prayer there is a child in the masjid. But sometimes there are narrations clarifying that there would be children in the masjid to clarify that this is something that is allowed and it's not haram. But it's not from the custom of the people, especially the men, to bring their small child to the masjid for every prayer. Because that will only disturb them and cause them to lose the khushu'. And then also it also disturbs the congregation. Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned about this, that they should not bring them. Those who come to the masjid, they're under the age of 7 and they're not able to stay still in the lights like this, you should not bring them. And somebody mentioned, oh, well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed and there was Hassan or Hussein was there, radiallahu anhuma. And one time he carried one of his granddaughters, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, while he's in prayer. This is true, and this is again to clarify that it's permissible, but it's not the asl, and it's not something that should be done all the time. Rather, if there's a necessity, it's allowed. But to simply bring the children to the masajid, and especially those who are young and under the age, and they cannot stand in the rank, then this is not something that is recommended. And the scholars don't recommend that, particularly Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala. And if they cause problems in the masjid and they disturb the people while they're praying, then it's not. Then they cannot come. And they should not be brought. And the ulama, they mentioned that they should not be brought. Rather, the children at that age, the best place for them is at home with their mother. At home with their mother, to be raised and to be cultivated upon the Tawheed and upon the Sunnah, to be safe from the world and the worldly affairs and the streets and the likes like that. In any case, if the children are disturbing the people in the masajid, they should not be brought, especially during the prayer. So, rakad al-nisa'u wa-sibyan, that the women and the children, they fell asleep. Also from this, we see that the people, they're waiting. Umar, radiallahu anhu, he's waiting. And the women and children, they're waiting. The rest of the companions, they're waiting. And this is a clarification likewise that the asl, with regards to the salat and when it should be established, is that the people, they wait for the imam. That the people, they wait for the imam. Al-imam yuntadhar. Yuntadhar. The imam should be waited for. This is the foundation and this is the asl. And this is the case here clarified in this narration that they continued to wait all the way until a third of the night is gone. And they did not hasten or rush to establish until after this great portion of the night had passed. And this is the origin. Again, I mentioned that the imam, he should be waited for. And no one should establish the prayer in his place except if they have permission from him. Except that they have permission from him. Those who have the imam, for example, he gives permission to an individual to establish the prayer in his place. and the likes like this, then at this time or on this day, then this is allowed. But the origin is that the Imam, he has the right, and the right of the Imam is great, and the rank of the Imam is lofty, and the position of the Imam is very important, and his responsibility is not light, and to take that lightly, all of this, to take all of that lightly, like it's nothing, go pray, take his place. This is not something that is small. This is something that is major. The Imam, he's standing in the place where the Prophet ﷺ used to stand, in front of the Muslims and leading them in prayer. And on top of that, and there are many other obligations that the Imams of the Masajid have, other than just leading the Salat. So therefore, they should be waited for. But also, if we see from this narration, if they do delay, or they are delayed themselves, or they do delay the prayer, then it's allowed to check on them and to check with them, just as Umar did, radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he delayed the prayer, but then after some time, then Umar, he checked on him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So likewise, we see from that benefit that it's allowed to check on the Imam as well. And you can check on him today, alhamdulillah, by calling and texting and other affairs and the likes like this. In any case, we see that this narration has many benefits. Walillah alhamd. Although it is mentioned here for this specific reason of clarifying the virtue of delaying the Isha prayer, there are many lessons that we can learn from the narrations and the events of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the events of his life, the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar, he says, As-salata, ya Rasulullah, raqada an-nisa'u was-sibyan. Establish the prayer, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Verily, the women and the children have fallen asleep. In one narration, faqad nama ahlul masjid, the people of the masjid had fallen asleep. We see likewise from the benefit of this narration that it's permissible for the elder to be checked on and to be informed, and to be reminded. So the one who is considered an elder, or the one who is considered a leader, or the one who is considered to have a lofty status or rank in the community, if he performs an action that is not understood to the people, or that is different than normal, and the likes like this, then it's and it appears that possibly he forgot, or something of that extent, it's allowed to go to check on him and to ask him about that, to make a tanbih, and to draw his attention to this issue. And this would be in order to remind him, because possibly he forgot, or possibly it slipped his mind, or possibly there's a benefit in why he's doing that. So sometimes there will be something that the imam or the leader or the teacher or so on and so forth will do that's different from normal. And if that occurs, it's allowed for him to be checked with, to check on him about that. But the one who checks on him about that, he would do that in a manner as like Umar. He would do that with nobility and with honor and with respect. And he would come and with this intention, either he's going to remind him if he was forgetful, or he's going to benefit from him if he has another reason that he's doing it for. So sometimes maybe the imam or the leader of the community, or somebody who has status and rank like this, al-kabir, yani fil mujtama, would do something like this, and he forgot, or he was forgetful about the situation, and he needs to be reminded. He needs to be reminded. Alhamdulillah, then he should be reminded. Also, sometimes he would do that, and maybe it's not because he forgot, but rather because there's a benefit in that. And there's maybe there's a sunnah in that, or maybe there is a specific reason for that. So therefore, the one who goes to find out or to remind, he will come in this manner. Either he's going to remind him if he's forgetful, or benefit from him if there is a reason in this manner like this. In any case, the one who goes to him, he will come like Umar, and he will mention an excuse or the reason, and he will not come as one who is commanding and giving orders and the likes like this. And this is from having the good manners and dealing with the people of knowledge and the people of status and the likes like this. Also, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded similarly. And this is another benefit, that the people of status or rank, or the people of knowledge likewise, and the likes like this, then they also will explain their excuse, and they will mention the reason. If they had forgotten, they will say, Jazakallahu khayran, I actually forgot about that. And if there's a benefit, like here, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that he's delaying the prayer now for a reason and for a purpose, and that's to clarify the legislative ruling with regards to this issue, and that it's preferred to delay this particular prayer to this time. To this time. Now, so the ulama, they mentioned about that in the hadith, دَلِيلٌ عَلَى تَنْبِئِ الْكَابِرِ إِمَّا لِإِحْتِمَالِ غَفْرَةٍ أَوْ لِإِثَارَةِ فَائِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ. نعم في التنبيه في التنبيه ابن دقيق العيد, he mentioned this benefit. Also from this narration we see that the origin with regards to a commandment from Allah Azza wa Jalla, from His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that it's an obligation. And the Prophet, he said, لولا أن شق على أمتي أو على الناس لأمرتهم بهذه الصلاة هذه الساعة, that if it was not for the hardship, I would have commanded them. Meaning that if he commanded them, it would have been obligatory, and in the obligation of that, it would have brought a hardship upon them. So therefore, because of this, he did not command them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if he had commanded them, then it's understood from that it would be obligation. So therefore, in the origin with regards to commandments that come in the Islamic text of the Quran and the Sunnah, the foundation or the fundamental principle with regards to these commandments is that it indicates that it's an obligation. Because sometimes there are commandments and it's only recommended, but the origin and the asr with regards to this, and al-amra yufidul wujub. And we benefit that from this narration. And likewise from the benefits of this narration is the ease in the deen. And that al-mashaqqatu tajribu al-taysir, the ease in the religion, in this great qa'idah fiqhiyah, fiqh principle, that whenever there is hardship and difficulty, then this will ease will be brought in order to deal with that, and the situation will be facilitated, and the likes like this in the affair of the acts of worship, and that there is no hardship in the religion. And that if there's ever a situation of extreme difficulty, then ease will come and replace that and remove that difficulty. Someone will worship Allah as much as they can and fear Allah as much as they can. فَتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مِسْتَطَعْتُمْ فَصَلِّ قَائِمًا فَإِلَمْ تَسْتَطِئْ فَقَائِدًا فَإِلَمْ تَسْتَطِئْ فَعَلَى جَنْبٍ. That pray while you're standing, and if you're not able to, then while you're sitting, and if you're not able to, then while you are laying on your side. And as much as you can. And if somebody is not able to, then ease is brought, and if there's hardship, then ease will come. And this is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has described the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in more than one place in his book, أَنَّهُ رَأُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ, that he is merciful and that he is kind. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is merciful and he is kind. And from his names sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نَبِيُّ الرَّحْمَةِ, and Allah, he said about him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have not sent you except as a mercy to mankind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to look in the situation of his companions, and he would do that which is easiest for them, and he would have mercy on them and be kind to them, and he would look into their situation, and if he preferred to do a particular action and he knows that it's more virtuous and beloved, sometimes he would leave that for fear that it would bring a hardship upon his ummah and a hardship upon his companions and those who believe in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like this, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and he made dua yani against the one who harms the ummah, and he made dua for the one who is kind to the ummah. Yani those who are truly following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are people who are gentle, and they are people who are kind, and they are people who know when to show mercy, and they know the foundation of that issue. And also they know when to be harsh or to be stern and to be strong. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made a dua, and Aisha, she narrates that radiallahu anha, that he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma man waliya min amri ummati shay'an fashaqqa alayhim fashquq alayhi. O Allah, whoever takes charge of an affair of my ummah, something whatsoever, whoever takes charge of any affair of my ummah whatsoever, and he makes it hard upon them, then make it hard for him. He brings a hardship to them, then make a hardship for him. وَمَنْ وَلِيَ مِنْ أَمْرِ أُمَّتِي شَيْئًا فَرَفَقَ بِهِمْ فَرَفُقْ بِهِ. And whoever takes charge of any affair in my ummah, and he is gentle with them and kind, then be kind and gentle to him. Those who have any charge in the ummah, anybody who has any, this is specific for the rulers, but also in general for anybody who has, who has a the affair of a Muslim, of a believer under his authority or under his guardianship or under his care. Naam, and the foundation of the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is that it is da'wah to rahmah, that it is a call to mercy and a call to kindness and a call to forgiveness and a call to that which is good. And this is the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.